Good morning, everybody. Oh, you're going to have to respond better than that. Good morning, everybody. So this is that time of the service that I like to think of as being called, what can I do this week? So to get you prepared for what is to come, you might need to get out your diary and turn it on if you haven't already, or if you have a paper diary, find a pen. Emma's going to come and talk to us about town pastors as soon as I've finished telling you this one, which apparently is very, very important. Every few years, the church has to throw away the electoral roll. That's the list of all the people that are members of the church. We have to throw it away and build it again. This year is one of those years. So I am officially giving you your two-week warning, which is a legal requirement, that in 2 weeks' time you will be able to get a form that will allow you to be re-registered onto the new electoral roll. What will you get in 2 weeks? A form. Well done. We will be asking questions later. Now you know why. Emma, do you want to talk to us about town pastors?
So every Friday and Saturday night in Ipswich, while all of the clubbers are out in the bars and clubs of Ipswich enjoying themselves, there are a group of people called the town pastors who go out and they care for those people, particularly those who might be made a bit vulnerable through drink or drugs or whatever it is. And they're looking for volunteers. So there are three ways in which you could volunteer for Ipswich Town Pastors. They're looking for people to be town pastors. We've got training coming up. You will be fully trained for that role. You need to be someone who has a real heart for people and who's able to care for them and meet their needs without judging them. You also need to be fit enough to walk around. The second way to get involved is to be a base prayer, which is what I am. And we sit in the prayer base in town and we pray for the town pastors and we pray for the town. People who might think about doing that would be people who really have a heart for Ipswich and for those young people in particular who are out who might like to pray and also offer hospitality to the pastors when they come in. Our third way to get involved is home prayers. And these are amazing people who wake up in the middle of the night and pray for 1 hour for Ipswich and for the people who are out clubbing and out on and the town. The volunteers range in age from being in their 20s to being in their 90s, so it really is a broad spectrum. If this is something that you feel God might be calling you to, something that's on your heart, then please come and speak to me after the service and I'd love to tell you more. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Emma. Okay, have you got your diaries ready? This is the time you are officially allowed to have your phone in your hand, if that's how you manage your diary. So, at the 28th of this month, we have a very, very exciting visitor coming. Who is aware that we have changed archdeaconries? Not this month, it's next month. April, 28th of April. I was close. 28th of April. Don't worry. We are a new archdeaconry. There is an archdeaconry being created of Ipswich. What does that mean, I hear you ask? It means we have a new archdeacon who is going to be licensed and installed at the end of March and is going to come here on the 28th of April to tell us all about what that means and about an amazing project called Inspiring Ipswich. She is coming here on the 28th. She's going to preach at the 10:30 service. She'd love everybody to come and share with some lunch. Do you like food? Yeah? Only me then? We like food? Yeah? So put it in your diary now. After that meal, she's then going to speak some more about the project, and she wants questions from us. She wants to understand what are our needs, what are our feelings, what do we think about it. So please put it in your diary, 28th of April, as I've been reminded, and it's going to be an amazing morning and a real opportunity for us to get to know our new archdeacon. Finally, Easter Sunday is coming up. And one of the things that we are hoping to do this Easter is have some full immersion baptisms in the church. So if you're interested in talking to someone about baptism, grab me, grab Trevor, grab Anne, someone you've seen at the front, and we can talk to you about that and sort it out if that's right for you. So as we come together every week, one of the things that we do, one of the things that we remind ourselves about is that we're not perfect. And that's why we're here, really. We're here because we're not perfect, because we're broken people, and because Jesus Christ came and died for us so that our sins could be forgiven. All we have to do is ask. And that's what we're going to do now. So there's going to be some words on the screen, which hopefully you'll be able to see all right. There's probably some printed copies if you do have trouble seeing them. So let's pray. We have not always worshipped God, our Creator. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We have not always followed Christ, our Saviour. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We have not always trusted in the Spirit, our guide. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love bring us back to himself. May he forgive us our sins and assure us of his eternal love. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
In the last few weeks, as a church, we've been thinking about a topic called to be chosen, called to share, called to serve. And this morning we're going to think about called to lead. I'm sure many of you here this morning have been called to be leaders at some time. It might be in our family life, our workplace, our communities, in our free time activities, or even here at church. You don't have to be any particular age or have any particular qualifications to be a leader. Our uniform groups here today not only have adult leaders, but the youngsters themselves take leadership roles. Have we got any sixers or patrol leaders here this morning? Oh, good. One or two. And we now know we've got adult leaders, so that's really good. At school, children and young people also have leadership roles to play. For example, as members of school councils, they've been elected to represent their fellow classmates. They may be school ambassadors, dining table leaders, and perhaps captains of school sports teams. To be a leader, I do believe, you need to have felt a calling to serve others and be ready to accept the responsibility that inevitably brings. And of course, you usually need to have been chosen to do it. Well, the leader we're going to hear about this morning, Moses, is just one example that we find in the Bible of someone called by God to be a leader. As you hear the stories about him from the Bible and listen to what I say, I really would like you to listen to the words to describe a good leader that begin with the letter C. I've chosen eight, but you may discover more. And I'll check at the end if you've remembered them. But I'd also like you to listen as well to the different parts of the story that the brownies are now going to tell us. So we're going to start with our first reading. Matilda's going to read it, and it's called The Burning Bush.
Moses grew up. He left Egypt and became a shepherd. Every day he took the sheep out to find grass to eat.
Just a slight hiccup. Can we have the pictures, please? Thank you.
You may remember Moses. He was the... You may remember Moses. He was the baby who found in a basket in the bulrushes. He was found by the princess, the daughter of the Egyptian king, but was looked after by his own mother before he went to live with the princess in the palace. Moses grew up. He left Egypt and became a shepherd. Every day he took the sheep out to find grass to eat. One day he saw something very strange. That bush is on fire, he thought, but it isn't being burnt up. He went over to look more closely. Then he heard a voice saying, Moses. It was God speaking to him. Here I am, said Moses. I have chosen you for a special job, God told Moses. My people are unhappy because the Egyptians are cruel to them. You will lead them out of Egypt. Oh no, said Moses, I couldn't do that. I've chosen you to tell the king of Egypt to let my family go, God told him. Oh no, said Moses, I couldn't do that. I will help you, God said. So Moses and his family set off for Egypt. Moses knew that God had chosen him and would help him.
Thank you very much. Well done, Matilda. Well, we've just heard that Moses was chosen and called by God to take on a special leadership role. And that was to take the people out of Egypt, God's people, out of slavery, and to take them to the land that he promised them. At first, Moses didn't want to do what God was asking him to do. I'm sure lots of you have had that feeling. He felt he wasn't the right person, and he made all sorts of excuses. But God, however, was not taking no for an answer. And after he promised to help Moses, Moses decided to obey God's call. If we have any doubts whether leadership is right for us, whatever age we are, we need to discuss it with someone we trust, and we need to pray about it. But the one thing I am sure about is there will be people available to help, support, and guide us if we take on such a role, just as God did for Moses. Now, let's see what happened next. And I think Sophie's going to come and read this one for us.
Moses, what are we going to do now? Asked the people, God's family. We got out of Egypt, but now we're stuck. The sea is too wide and deep, and we can't go back. The Egyptian soldiers were chasing them, and all the people were afraid. God will keep us safe, Moses said. You'll see. God told Moses to stand beside the sea and stretch out his hand. A strong wind began to blow. The sea opened up to make a dry path for the people to walk on. They set off walking on the dry path, but still afraid because the soldiers were chasing them. They hurried, but there were so many people it took a long time to cross to the other side. God said to Moses, I will keep everyone safe. Hold out your arm over the sea again. As Moses stretched out his arm, the sea covered the path so that the Egyptians could not get through. God's people sang and danced to praise him. God had kept the people safe.
Well done. Well done. Haven't we got some good readers this morning? Well done. Thank you, Sophie. Well, in that part of the story, Moses had a really tough time when he got to Egypt. The king, or to give him his proper title, the Pharaoh, was very reluctant to let God's people go. They were very valuable to his country because as slaves they did lots of very important work. Moses, however, was committed to his task, the task that God had asked him to do, and he persisted many times in his requests to let God's people go, and this took a lot of courage on his part. However, after a lot of hassle, God provided the means of escape. But their escape route was blocked by the Red Sea. And also the Egyptian army was getting closer. Of course, the people became frightened. But Moses told them God would keep them safe. And as we heard, that's exactly what happened. It's the same for us too. God will keep us safe, especially if we pray to him, as I'm sure Moses did every time a difficulty arose. We now have Amelia coming to read us our third story this morning, and it's called Manna from Heaven.
The people of Israel were travelling across a hot, dusty desert to the new home God had promised them. We're hungry, everybody complained to Moses. Our tummies are rumbling. If we don't get some food soon, we will all die. We always had enough to eat in Egypt. The people are unhappy, Moses told God. I will make sure they have enough to eat, God promised. In the mornings, they will find food on the ground. Tell everybody to collect some and eat it. In the evenings, I will send some birds they can cook for supper. God will provide everything we need, Moses told the people. In the mornings, the ground was covered with white flakes. They tasted like honey biscuits. Delicious, everyone said. In the evenings, God sent meat for supper. That was good too. God always provided enough food.
Thank you, Amelia. Well, leaders often experience difficulties, and Moses was no exception to this rule. In order for the people to get to the land that God had promised them, they had to travel many miles through hot, dusty deserts, where there was, of course, little water and very little food. Of course, they're human, and they began to grumble. And the hunger and thirst that they were experiencing became a real issue. Moses was very concerned, and he listened carefully to what they said. He knew he alone couldn't solve the problem, but he remembered that promise God had made at the burning bush. So he prayed for God to help. God listened and answered his prayers, and as we've heard, provided food they needed every morning, white flakes called manna. God is always ready to help us, but we do have to ask him first. So let us now hear the last part of our story. And this time, Emma's going to come and read it to us. Emma is one of the leaders. You don't want any help.
Something very special was happening. There was thunder and lightning and the noise of trumpets. Smoke covered the whole of the big mountain. The people of Israel stood at the bottom of the mountain and felt very frightened. The ground shook underneath their feet. Moses, I want to talk to you, said God. So Moses climbed up the mountain. This is important, God told him. These are the 10 rules I want everybody to obey. Always remember that I am very special. I am the only God there is. Worship me, not any more or anything else. Remember, one day a week is a special day. Use it to have a rest and to think about me. Love your parents. Don't hurt people, tell lies or steal things. I want you to always love me and be kind to other people. Never forget these rules. They are important.
Well, that's part four of our reading this morning. This reading is quite similar to the first one, where God spoke directly to Moses through the burning bush, but this time he spoke to Moses on the top of a mountain. But Moses obeyed God's call once again. God thought Moses had enough confidence and was capable of obeying the instructions that he would be going to give to him. I'm afraid the people, because of their behaviour, needed rules to live by, as they were beginning to fight and quarrel amongst themselves, and they were beginning even to worship other gods. So God gave Moses 10 rules, which we now call the 10 commandments. These are God's rules for how we live, and which still are the guidance that Christians try to live their lives even today. Moses continued to have all sorts of problems as their leader, and he never did lead them into the promised land, the land that God had promised. But that's a story for another day. I wonder who's been listening for words beginning with C, which described what a leader such as Moses should be like. Any suggestions? Yes? Sorry? I think, Julie, we need a microphone. Yes, I'm going to make you run. Yes? You made us dance and whatnot, so...
Confident.
Confident, yes. Excellent. Any others? There's seven more.
Caring.
Caring.
Capable.
Capable, yes.
Courage.
Yes, courageous, yes, to have courage. Somebody behind you, Julie.
Compassionate.
Compassionate, yes. Caring.
Loving.
Sorry?
Loving. Loving.
Lovely.
Caring.
Okay.
Caring.
Well done. Caring, yes.
Committed.
Committed, yes.
Comfort.
Sorry?
Comfort.
Comfort, yes. Do you think he was comfortable? I think he gave the people comfort, certainly by giving them food and water. Yes, definitely. I think we've had them all.
Oh, good.
Well, if we haven't, these are the ones that I've thought of. Moses was called, he was chosen, he was committed, he was courageous, he was concerned, he was caring, he was confident, and he was capable. I'm sure you can think of lots of others. But we're going to end with a bit of fun. I've previously asked the uniform groups to provide two teams of five, one to be the noughts and the others to be the crosses. And I'm going to ask 10 questions, one for each person. If they get it right, they can have a card. As in the game of noughts and crosses that you play on paper, the winning team will be the first one to get a line of three up or three down or diagonally across three. And you're going to do it standing up here on the steps so everybody can see. Now, if those five people would like to come to the front, that would be really helpful. Now, if you go to that side, I think, that'd be great. Now then, have to see fair play. So I'm going to ask somebody, right, Emma, would you like to choose a piece of paper out of my bag? Right. Right, it's got a cross on it. Right. So, I wonder which team would like to be the cross. Any offers?
Yeah, we'll...
You'll be the crosses, right? Okay. So you're going to be the noughts, all right? And we're going to start with the crosses, all right? So I'm going to give Julie the cards. There we go. Right. So, one of you is going to answer the question, if you can, all right? Okay? Julie will give you a card and then you'll come and stand in the place that you think you'd like to be on the noughts and crosses board. Okay? Right. And it doesn't matter which one of you it is who answers. Right. What was the baby Moses in when the princess found him?
A basket.
Basket, well done. Right, so where are you going to stand? You can stand. Right, you can stand there and hold the card up. That's it. Hold it up so people can see. Right, okay. So this is for the noughts. What job was Moses doing before God called him? No, you're not a nought, you're a cross. A shepherd, right? Come on then. So where are you going to stand? You're going to stand there, right. Okay. Right, somebody from your team? What was strange about the burning bush?
It wasn't burning. It wasn't.
You've got the idea, yes. It wasn't. It didn't burn out, did it? It kept on burning. Right, where are you going to stand? I think, could you just swap places? That's lovely. Right, where am I? Question four. Where did God tell Moses to go?
To the volcano?
No, I don't think so. Anybody else? Oh, he did, yes. He told him to go up the mountain. Yes, that's fine. Where are you going to stand? Right, hold it up. So you've stopped them getting a line down there. Well done. All right. Okay. Why did God want his people to be saved?
Because they were slaves and they weren't being treated well.
That's right. Well done. They were slaves and they weren't being treated properly. Right. Lovely. Where are you going to stand? Are you on the top row? Right. Okay. Right. What was the name of the sea they had to cross? Can you see if you... Where are you going to stand? Changed your mind, have you? Two heads are better than one. Right. Why were the people in the desert unhappy? Well, it's getting exciting. Where are you going to stand? Right. Any chances of a line? I can't really see from the back here. Right. What did God send them as food every morning?
Flakes.
Like bread, that's right. I've got one more question. I've got two more questions, but I think we've got one more space. Where did Moses go to talk to God? On top of the hill, that's right, on top of the mountain. So where are you going to stand? Well, I call that a draw. And so you don't feel left out, one question for you. How many rules or commandments did God give to Moses?
Ten.
Right. You can have them. You can choose a sweet.
Thank you.
If you're allowed sweets. You can have a sweet. Well done. I think they all deserve a clap. Well done.
Thank you.
So we're going to come to our time of prayer. We've been thinking about leaders. And Anne talked about this morning that there's some adults who are leaders and some of our children are also leaders. So what we thought it would be really good is if we could pray for each other, pray for our leaders, the leaders that are here in church today. So if you're under 18 and you're a leader, I've got a huge list of leaders that happen in schools and in our uniform groups. So if you fall into one of these categories in your school or in your groups that you're in, or if you're a leader for something else, what we'd love for you to do is to stand up. So are you ready? We've been talking to schools all week about their leaders, and you'll be absolutely amazed by how many leaders we have in our schools around us. So whether you're on the community leadership team or the student leadership team, or whether you're a school ambassador or a sports captain or a bank manager or a play buddy or a prefect or a student leader, or you're on the school council, or you're an online safety leader, whether you're a form rep, whether you're a seconder or a sixer, you're a patrol leader or a seconder, or you're a young leader, or you're a patrol leader or an assistant patrol leader, we'd love you to stand up. Fantastic. I can see we've got some reluctant leaders as well. So, what we'd love for you to do is, if there's a leader standing around you, we'd love for you to pray for them. Perhaps you can think about the C words that Anne talked about, and you could pray those over our leaders. If you haven't got a leader around you, don't worry, you can pray for those standing up, or pray for our hundreds of leaders in our schools, in our sports teams, in our uniform groups. So, go. Fantastic. So, adults, it's your turn.
Did you think you were going to get away with it?
We'd love you to stand, maybe if you're a uniform group leader, or you're a leader in your workplace, or you're a sports team leader, or you're a leader in the church, you're a leader with a charity, maybe you're on the committee of an organisation, or there's lots of other ways that we can be leaders. Fantastic. Wow, we've got lots of leaders in our church. So, if you look around at all those people that are standing, we'd love you to pray for all our leaders. Go. So, Father God, we thank you for all our leaders, whether they're 2-year-old leaders or whether they're 100-year-old leaders. Father, we thank you that you have called us all to lead, whether we lead one person or whether we lead thousands of people. Father, we just pray for everybody here who is a leader, that you will give them the skills they need to lead, that you will encourage them, and that you will protect and support them. Amen. And shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done
on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So it's great. We've had an opportunity to pray or be prayed for at that point in the service. But we love to pray for people, whatever your circumstance, whatever your whatever's going on in your life or in the lives of those around you. And if you would like somebody to sit and pray with you or talk to you or explain a bit more to you about what you've heard this morning, do grab one of us. Don't miss the opportunity. Anyone you've seen at the front, get us at the end. We would love to just spend some time sitting quietly, or not. Whatever is right for you, do take us up on that. Melissa. I don't know where Julie just put the microphone, because, oh, she's given it you. Excellent. I wasn't watching. There's something else very exciting. You know, I told you could get your diaries out and turn them on. This is another opportunity to get your diary out and turn it on.
You can even go to Eventbrite and book up.
Oh, wow.
So you had a leaflet as you come in, hopefully, and there was a notice on the screen. Again, thank you. Messy Church is something that we are starting this year. In fact, we are starting at the end of this month. So on Sunday, the 23rd of March, we're inviting everybody, all ages, bring your friends into the Lantern Room and into church in the afternoon at 3:30. We're going to be exploring about how God is our creator God. We're going to be looking in creative ways about how he's created the world. So we're going to be planting. We're going to be painting pictures of flowers. We're going to be creating colour, threading, making starry jewellery, lots of flicking space pictures and lots of activities around creating the world. And we want you to join us. So there'll be an hour of activities followed by a short worship and then some food together. Like I said, all ages are welcome. We'd love you to bring your friends too. We want to see as many people here as possible. And you can sign up just to let us know you're coming through Eventbrite. You can search for Messy Church in St. Augustine's and you should be able to find it. That's just to help us with catering, to know how much food we need to provide for you all, and give us an idea of who's coming. So please do that if you intend to come, and we'd love to share that afternoon with you. There's two more throughout the year, so if you can't make this one, there will be two more.
Brilliant. Thank you, Melissa. And yeah, if for whatever reason you forget or don't manage to sign up on Eventbrite, do still turn up, because we have something of a reputation in over-catering, I think is a fair way of putting it in this church. There's never not enough food. Our God provides, and our kitchen never runs dry, does it? It just keeps coming. Why do people always try and remind me of things that I've not forgotten? I don't know. Forgotten where I was now completely. We'll sing. While we sing, our gifts for God's work will be taken. And so may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. And may the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.